Health officials and researchers say the science is clear. Face masks can help reduce the spread of the coronavirus. But rhetoric from some elected officials has not been so clear, including among some leaders around the Ohio Valley. That's especially worrisome as the nation's COVID-19 cases hit an all-time high. Liam Niemeyer with the Ohio Valley Resource spoke with a former acting director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention about the importance of masks and the right messages.
Dr. Richard Besser is the former acting director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and is now president of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Besser was on the front lines as CDC director of a swine flu outbreak in North America back in 2009. And now he's offering advice to state health officials and regular citizens alike about the growing coronavirus pandemic. I spoke with Dr. Besser about whether there should be a face mask mandate and how the issue has been politicized.
But we are hearing mixed messages. I am hearing some Republican governors saying this as well. The Ohio governor was one of the early governors to shut things down in the state. I haven't heard his messages about masks. But it's very confusing to the public, and it's very damaging to the nation when you see divisions along political lines around public health measures. When I ran emergency preparedness and response at the CDC, we did everything we could to try and not create a partisan divide around what we were recommending. And early on, you saw that here at the federal level with the CARES Act, which was passed with almost unanimous support from both parties, providing supplemental unemployment insurance and eviction protection and payment to businesses, small businesses, to keep them afloat. It was bipartisan. And then since then, we've seen incredible partisanship, and it's really damaging. I'm trying as hard as I can to understand why some people don't want to wear masks and what that means to them when they're wearing a mask. And I want to have those conversations to understand that, because I think that it's a really important thing to do to protect the health of people around you. And when it becomes a political symbol, then I think we're in a really difficult position.
You mentioned the messaging regarding the Ohio governor. Actually, back in April, Mike DeWine, he originally announced a face mask mandate for retail settings. But the next day during his press conference, he went back to say it was only a recommendation. And West Virginia Governor Jim Justice had said recently he thinks face mask use will divide people.
First of all, it's almost impossible to enforce. And the second part of it is just this, is it will divide us.
From my perspective, there are real equity issues here. When you look at the impact of the pandemic so far, every community has been hit. But some groups have been hit hardest. Black Americans, Latino Americans, Native Americans, lower income Americans, people in general who don't have the choice about whether they're going to work or not. And I think it's our responsibility to do everything we can to protect people who must be in the workplace.
Moving to a related topic, a Kaiser Family Foundation study from April estimated how vulnerable populations in each state were to severe illness due to COVID-19 because of pre-existing health conditions. And the Ohio Valley had the highest rates of vulnerability in the country. So how does that vulnerability relate to still rising case numbers right now in rural America?
So if one person is out working as an essential worker, and gets the illness and they're young and they're healthy, they're going to do fine. Most people who are young and healthy do fine with this illness, but they may bring it home to somebody else who is elderly or somebody who has heart disease or lung disease or diabetes. There are very high rates of diabetes in Appalachia. So, from a medical side, there's high risk. There are real challenges in terms of access to healthcare, as we've seen a lot of rural health facilities closing around the country. You see a high proportion of low-income workers who don't have the opportunity to work remotely from home. So these factors all combine to increase the risks in many parts of rural America. And the solutions to those problems may be different from the solutions that you're looking at in an urban setting. So it again points to the necessity of understanding the community and working with the community.
There was also a recent report by NPR that showed Kentucky and Ohio didn't have enough contact tracers needed for their populations. Simply, what are the implications of this?
Contact tracing, you know, is a critical piece as we move from lockdown to opening up. Because when you switch and say, okay, we're no longer going to be operating on this idea that everyone stays home except essential workers, what you have to have happen is what's happened in, you know, the approach that's used in many other countries, where you identify cases quickly. So testing available in every community, and you're looking at the numbers to make sure no community is being left out on that testing. And then once you find someone who's infected, you can very quickly identify who all the people they've had contact with, close contact with, so those people can be aware and they can be provided with services so they can be under quarantine in case they get sick. You know, it's a simple model, but each one of those pieces requires resources. And, you know, we've yet to see any of the states that have really seen their numbers come all the way down make the transition over to this yet. And it's not just having the number of contact tracers. That's really important. But you want those contact tracers to be from the communities in which they're operating so that there's a level of trust. What we're seeing in some places is that people don't want to tell the contact tracers who their contacts were.
I wanted to pose a listener-submitted question your way. This one's from Paula Gill, who submitted this one to West Virginia Public Broadcasting. So how often do you need to change a mask if it's only worn once every 2 weeks for an hour? So how often do you need to sanitize a mask?
When I look at the recommendations on that from CDC and others, their recommendation is if it's a cloth mask, it's a good idea to have more than one and to throw it in the laundry and wash it after each time of use. And you'll be able to see online recommended ways of taking on and putting on a mask, so that when you're taking off a mask and if you throw it in the laundry with your wash, that's a good time you wash your hands because you've touched this mask that may now be contaminated.
Another question from a listener in West Kentucky submitted to WKMS Public Radio. This listener says they're practicing social distancing out less than 2 hours a week. How likely is this listener to get this virus?
Not very. You know, those activities that you're doing are very safe. The nice thing about being outdoors, if you're outdoors and 6 feet away from people, it's a really safe way to be, and it feels good. So I think your risk is very low.
Besser says individual decisions like wearing a mask can dramatically impact how many people will become sick or how many vulnerable people could die. He says wearing a face mask is ultimately about protecting one another, a small step that can make a big difference. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Liam Niemeyer.